States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, Annie Morris is back with another training tip. We feature Colonel Donald Thackeray as part of our series on American dressage legends, and part two in the two-part series on degenerative joint disease in the performance horse with Dr. Victoria Maxwell. But first, we have an item of news regarding the US dressage finals presented by Adequan, which take place in the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington from November 6th through the 9th. The regional qualifiers got underway in Mason City, Iowa, and there is a marked increase in the entries that have been reported from the regions, indicating that this could be a banner year for the regional championship program. The finals will feature a number of championship titles and over $50,000 in prize money, while showcasing adult amateurs and open riders from across the country, competing from training level through to Grand Prix. And now for part two in our two-part series on degenerative joint disease in the performance horse with Dr. Victoria Maxwell. This excerpt was taken from a session at the 2013 Adequan USDF Annual Convention.
A lot of people think cartilage does shock absorption. It doesn't really do shock absorption. It only does about 5 to 10%. Its job is to do shock radiation. It's to send the load that I push down and radiate it to the subchondral bone, down to the spongy bone, soft tissue structures, and then about 40% is just lost as energy. A lot of people think that that little cushion, kind of like on the bottom of a sneaker, is doing the absorption. It's not. It's radiating it. And if it's not doing its job, it's radiating it closer to the subchondral bone, which is why the bone adapts or gets thicker. All right. So now what are we going to do? We recognize that we have a horse that probably has some form of degenerative joint disease. We spent a lot of money on imaging. I want you to keep a cookie jar in your kitchen, and it says veterinary contributions. And every time you feel compelled to go to Mary's tack shop and blow a serious amount of cash, I want you to take half of that, and I want you to put it in the veterinary cookie jar so that we can do all the right imaging. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than having the wrong diagnosis. If you've got the wrong diagnosis, you're going down the wrong road. It's bad money spent. It's bad therapeutic money spent. You really got to nail it if you really want to use your money as efficiently as possible. And then, like I said earlier, I'm a big proponent of FDA-approved products, and I'll show you why here in a minute. By the time you call your veterinarian, because I know you're above-average horseman that's already sitting in front of me, you've rested it, you've cold-hosed it, you probably had some bute somewhere in the barn, if not Banamine and Arkwell and Ketafin. You probably sweat it, maybe had some supporting bandages on it, maybe put a bar shoe on it with a little bit of a pad. Some of my other guys said, well, I know how to unload a joint. I'll throw them in the pool. Up in New Jersey, we swim horses constantly. Love it, love it, love it. Swim, 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 swim. I'm not loading the joint anymore, and you can certainly send a horse to the race off of swimming, but cartilage atrophy will happen if you don't load it. Stall rest is great for horses that need it, but they still need to walk. Same with the touch of class door. You have to keep that cartilage engaged in order for it to be stimulated to overturn cells. Sometimes we use intra-articular therapy. It's very, very focal. It's very quick to respond. And sometimes we even go as far as surgical intervention and may drop a arthroscope on a set of knees. We can certainly look at the top layer of the cartilage and see that fibrillation that I talk about. It kind of looks like white snowflakes kind of coming up in there. And if you take the curette, it's just kind of like soft, mushy ice cream, unfortunately. So my goals, big one, correct diagnosis. Got to get it right. And it's not easy. There's a lot going on. You know, it's not just the foot. It's not just the ankle. It's the neck. It's the back. It's the saddle. It's sacroiliac, it's lumbosacral, it's muscle atrophy, it's all kinds of things that are going on there. So lameness to me is tip of the nose to the tip of the tail. If we're not looking at the patient in that way and only sort of doing that, which limb is it, lameness style, I think you're missing out. It's the right front is kind of old school. to say, well, this horse has adaptive changes in his back, he goes like this with his neck, and if we really notice there's some atrophy there, start to look at the patient as a whole, and you'll see maybe why these things are happening. Once I get a good diagnosis, I got to get the right therapy on board. Like I said, woman called me about a 27-year-old horse. Did I think that Adequan would help her horse? That if your horse is suffering from degenerative joint disease, there are certainly some therapies on the market. Legend, which is made by Bayer, very good company, FDA-approved drug. Adequan, FDA-approved. But maybe he's got a soft tissue. Maybe he does have a gravel. You're right. Maybe he's perfectly sound. You need to get somebody to get the right diagnosis, because just giving this particular drug in the face of the wrong diagnosis is money you'll never get back. We spend a lot of time as horsemen trying to control inflammation. All the reasons I just shared, from cold hosing and icing. You know, inflammation is good, but it takes things too far. We like to arrest inflammation. Ice, cold hose, Banamine, Bute, suppress inflammation and try to control it. And one of my big ones is I want to get these guys back to their normal function and their normal career. I have some clients frustratingly call me on Wednesday, the pony got in to the pony finals on Saturday, can you come by and fix it? Well, that's a really short window to get things done. So I want preservation of long-term joint function with physiological repair and not just symptom management. So the trainer that calls me on Wednesday wants symptom management. They want to suppress inflammation in a short window to get that pony to the ring. But I'm not getting long-term joint function. I think I sent a lot of horses to the retirement shed. I know I sent a lot of horses to the retirement shed early when I was a trainer because I was dealing a lot with symptom management. I wasn't proactive enough with my veterinary team, the skill set that they had to incorporate that into a good plan. Get out the calendar. What's this horse going to do? What's that horse going to do? Go down the shed row when you're doing Coggins. Go down the shed row when you're doing your vaccine schedule and really come up with a great protocol that's on an individual basis for each of the horses that you have high athletic endeavors for and for, you know, a decade. Drugs that are already approved by the FDA to address degenerative joint disease, certainly non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, ton of them. Everybody uses them. USEF and those guys are getting a lot more stringent about this. FEI is getting very stringent about it, and I applaud it. I think that there's definitely a lot of abuse that's going on out there by a small part of the population. If we are not watching what the racing community is going through, struggling, and the overwhelming contraction of that part of the business, a lot of it based around this cheating sport of the kings, we better take a good hard look at ourselves about how we're going to address our medication use so that we don't just get thrown out with the bathwater and the baby at the same time. Your vet may use corticosteroids intra-articularly, Vetilog, Depo, Medrol, Betamethasone. Very good at suppressing inflammation, but take things a little bit too far, because when they arrest inflammation, they also arrest repair, right? Think about, we don't treat a lot of topical wounds with a corticosteroid, right? It tells everybody, this is what corticosteroids, I call it the Jimmy Buffett drug. Everybody take the day off. We're just gonna chill, just sit back, steroids, what, hives? No, you have the hives, you need to go away. Everything down regulates in the face of corticosteroids. I used to use sort of a white syringe when I used to inject, and I have to be honest with you, I am using less and less and less corticosteroid in the joint, and still getting the same results, and still having those horses have, I think, a better quality of life. I'm not introducing Cushing's into their life. As a 7-year-old, if I'm injecting something, I need to think of this patient as a 17-year-old. Long-term steroid use has led to a lot of peripheral Cushing's, insulin resistance disease. I think we need to take credit or responsibility for that is happening, and not just feeding dexamethasone, what leads these horses into it, but intra-articular as well. A lot of sodium hyaluronates on the market. Legend, which I've mentioned, which is manufactured by Bayer, is approved by the FDA for synovitis, or inflammation of the synovial lining, that pink flaccid tissue that did all the stretching. That's what Legend is approved for. Hyvisc, Hylartan V, and Hylavet are approved for intra-articular use. And then there's something on the market called polysulfated glycosaminoglycan, marketed as Adequan, which is approved by the FDA to treat degenerative joint disease in the horse and in the dog. So we'll talk about some of the maintenance stuff in a little bit here, but how is Attaquan different from Legend? I get this question a lot. They look the same. They both look like water. Look like expensive water, not water in there, trust me. Attaquan, known as a polysulfated glycosaminoglycan. You mean a super sulfated big fat repeating sugar? Yes, a super sulfated big fat repeating sugar. So when we think about hyaluronic acid, Legend, Legend IV, it is the non-sulfated GAG. It doesn't have any sulfurs on it. It's a big fat repeating sugar, but it doesn't have any sulfurs on it. So if I want to impact or affect chondrocytes to have a positive effect on cartilage, I need those sulfurs. So does chondroitin sulfate have an impact? It does, a minor impact. Does Attaquan have an impact? Yes, because it's more sulfated. The secret's in the sulfurs. If you are using injectable acetyl-D-glucosamine, you are only getting half of your HA ring, okay? It's popular for a while, still out there. I see it through some compounders here, there, and everywhere. So total sulfur groups on hyaluronic acid, zero. So a couple of things we know about degenerative joint disease. We know that the damage can occur early, and we know that it's progressive. Once it sort of starts, I want you to think about that great lab dog, that yellow lab that was at the barn. How many times do I drive by, the lame dog meets me in the truck, hey, how you doing? I said, when are you going to work on the dog's lameness? And they're like, oh, no, no, he's fine, don't worry about him. Come over here and look at my horse, which I just saw 2 days ago, and I'm sure there's minorly lame. But we have a very high tolerance for lameness in dogs, very high tolerance. We have no tolerance for lameness in horses. How dare we? Oh, my God. So, but we know the damage occurs early and is progressive. The thing about that dog is I want you to think about him. He was pretty good. Then he kind of laid up in the barn for about a week, and he wasn't really hunting out in the woods anymore. Then he was pretty sound again. Then he kind of got a little lame on the right hind, and then he kind of took a break, and he was doing a little bit better. Up, down, up, down, and then he was just lame all the time. Think about it. They kind of go toggling back and forth, and then finally they just hit that plateau where they really just don't recover. We know the damage and symptoms don't correlate. Well, what does that mean? What I did not share with you is that articular cartilage is something that's called aneural. A means lack of, neural means nerve. Articular cartilage does not have a nerve supply. It undergoes a tremendous amount of change before we're really able to pick up that we are starting to have changes. If I take a horse and I do that flexion exam, I am loading that articular cartilage, squeezing the water out of it. I used to hold my limbs for about 45 to 60 seconds. And Dr. Bramlage, he holds his for 5 to 10 seconds. Boom. And still gets the same degree of lameness. So somebody wrote a paper on it, but you load the limb, loading the cartilage, then when I let that down and they start to trot off, that pumping action, if they have 2 strides, they probably have a pretty healthy cartilage. But if it takes him 7 or 8 strides to regain his soundness, he's probably got a lot of changes going on inside of his cartilage, because when I'm loading that cartilage, I'm also loading subchondral bone. Does that make sense? You can do your own flexion exams. You shouldn't be intimidated. If you want to get one of the guys out there and flex the limb and trot him off and trot him back the other way, start to get better at your own lameness. The areas I encourage you to do it is, does anybody keep a lameness journal? There must have been around Bruce Davidson then, because God bless him. He's got a red book about this thick, and he is adamant about keeping notes about lameness with his horses. And he's a master horseman, obviously, but he's very good at lameness. Very good at lameness. Better than some of the vets that have showed up at his farm. And he'll kick you off and tell you if you don't like it. If you're not good about keeping notes, and it's the modern century, you've got a camera on your phone. Everybody's got one. Jog your horse at the beginning of the month. Start to keep a file together. I say, how was this horse in September? Well, you know, he's gone kind of left, and he's kind of missing his changes, and he won't yield, and blah, blah, blah. All right, let's go look at the video. Oh, yeah. September 1st, October 1st, November 1st. Look, he's been dragging that right toe all the way back since September. I can pick it up. The nice thing about the video too, there's stuff out there called Uber, I think it's called Uber Sense, and Coach's Eye, like a baseball coach's eye. You can slow the video down. If you need to work on your lameness, and it's not just the head nod is out. I hate the head nod. If you're just looking at the head to go up and down, you're missing a lot of subtle lamenesses. Slow that video down. Watch how those ankles come down to the ground or don't. A lame horse is not going to want to load that limb so that you get a lot of flexion. They'll keep it kind of propped up. Look for rope walking, adduction, ways that they travel. Start to use your video. It's a great tool. And then you start to put a library together and you start to see the progress that these horses are making or the lack of progress. Nobody stays the same. You're either getting a little bit better or a little bit worse. I'm either getting a little bit smarter or a little bit dumber. There's just, you never kind of stay exactly the same through life. I'm finally learning that. So I like aggressive therapy. I think combination therapy is better. I like good nutrition. I like the chiropractor and the acupuncture keeping these horses balanced. I'll pay anything for a really good farrier. I'll pay a lot of money for good footing. I think all of that comes into play. I think the best horsemen are the ones that understand that combination therapy is the way to go. So early and aggressive is definitely where you're going to win out. Ataquan and Legend are the only drugs that have ever been through the FDA to get approval. Legend got approval for synovitis, one shot a week for 3 weeks intravenously. Ataquan got approval for degenerative joint disease in the dog and in the horse. No others. The FDA never says no to you. They're a government agency. They want to protect themselves. So they exhaust you. So they say, nope, not enough data. Nope, not enough data. Nope, not enough data. There's a committee of 15. 8 have to say yes. 7 can say no, and that drug can get passed. But that committee of 15 is set in stone. For me, the most expensive therapy is the one that does not work. If you are not being honest that you are using Billy Bob juice or Lubricin or whatever you're using, start to put your science brain. Started this horse on July 1st. October 1st, no different. Get rid of it. Move on. Don't do the guilt factor. Well, we're putting all this stuff into his feet. I'd rather have just good nutrition and not waste your money on that other stuff. Stick it in the veterinary cookie jar that's sitting in the kitchen. Okay? So I think that's something for us to kind of all think about.
Our thanks again to Dr. Victoria Maxwell for this presentation. As part of our series on American dressage legends, we feature Donald Walker Thackeray this week, who was inducted into the USDF's Hall of Fame in 1998 in recognition of his outstanding contributions to equestrian sport in the United States. Colonel Thackeray was the only person to hold FEIO judge status in 4 Olympic disciplines: dressage, driving, show jumping, and eventing. He officiated with distinction in 6 Olympic Games and 2 Pan American Games. As a director of the American Horse Shows Association, International Equestrian Federation, and United States Equestrian Team, Colonel Thackeray devoted his post-military life to a high standard of excellence in equestrian sport. Thack graduated from the United States Military Academy at West Point in 1938 and was commissioned as a cavalry officer. He began his army career with the 11th Cavalry Regiment at the Presidio of Monterey in California. During World War II, he served in Europe from Iceland through the Battle of the Bulge to VE Day with the 5th Infantry Division. Following the end of the war, Thack was assigned as the regular army advisor to Squadron A of the 101st Cavalry, New York National Guard, in New York City, one of the last army horse units in the country. There, he became friends with leaders of the American Horse Shows Association and the National Horse Show. This assignment was followed by service in Korea, after which he was assigned as the military attaché in Vienna, where he became a close friend of Colonel Alois Podaski of the Spanish Riding School. Following a tour at the Pentagon, Thack served as military attaché in Bern, Switzerland. It was during his tours of duty at Vienna and Bern that Thack refined his knowledge of dressage training and came to know major European trainers and officials of the FEI. He retired from the army in 1969 after more than 30 years of service. Thack then began another career of more than a quarter of a century as an equestrian judge and official. In this second career, he reached the highest limits. He was a member of the Bureau of the FEI for 17 years, serving the final years as a vice president of the Federation. He was the only person to be granted the status of official judge by the FEI in four disciplines: dressage, driving, jumping, and eventing. He was a director of the USET from 1970 until his death, and was a member of the team's executive committee from 1971 through 1993. He also served five terms as a director of the AHSA and played a key role in the dressage and driving committees of the AHSA and USET. In these positions, he promoted competition in dressage in the United States and had a supportive role in the development of the sport. He was also an influential voice in the U.S. Dressage Federation, the U.S. Combined Training Association, and the American Driving Society. He judged dressage at six Olympic Games and at two or more Pan American Games, and was an official at a number of driving and dressage world championships. He officiated at the National Horse Show for more than two decades, and in 1994 was named Horseman of the Year by the Maryland Horse Council. He played a key role in establishing and getting support of the American equestrian community for the North America Young Rider Championships. Thack also played a key role in making the leaders of the FEI realize that to promote dressage worldwide, and especially in America, FEI rules for competitions outside of Europe had to vary from those in Europe. He was influential in getting American officials recognized by the FEI and in bringing European officials to American events. Thack lived during his retirement years in New Windsor, Maryland, where he bred horses with his wife, Virginia, and served as master of the Carrollton Hounds. When Thack died in 1995, the American dressage community lost a strong and devoted sponsor and a voice of experience and wisdom. He well deserves to become a member of the USDA Hall of Fame. You can learn more about Colonel Thackeray in the October issue of Connection magazine. And there is more information on the Rumor Foundation USDF Hall of Fame on the website at usdf.org. And now for our trainer's tip this week, we welcome back Annie Morris from Columbia, Connecticut. Annie is a USDF certified instructor through fourth level, a member of the Instructor Trainer Program's Training First Level faculty, and a USDF Bronze and Silver Medalist.
Well, this week I would like to go over something that's in every test, no matter what level you're doing, and that's riding down the center line. Center lines are important, of course, because they're in every test at least twice, but they're also important because they're a useful training exercise. If you look at the test, early on, like intro and training level, they ask for you to enter working trot and then do a transition to halted X through the walk if necessary and then back to the working trot. And what that does is it requires the horse to have a degree of longitudinal balance that he can go from trot to halt to trot, maybe with just a few walk steps. And it also requires him to have lateral balance, meaning he's not going to fall left or fall right during the transitions and also just on the straight line. So as you move up the levels, the longitudinal balance and the lateral balance are improved because of the training. And then in first level, for example, you don't have any steps through the walk, even though you're still in the working gates. In second level, they ask for you to enter in the collected trot. And also there's some cantering on the center line in second level. And third level as well, there's cantering on the center line until finally you get up to fourth level in the FEI test, where you actually often enter at the canter, and sometimes your final center line also includes the piaffe and passage. It's really important the judge can see you dead on. and any slip of the lateral balance, meaning the horse steps left or right, is very obvious to the judge. So there are some ways you can practice the center line, but I think the most important thing you can do is commit to practicing the center line. It's such a simple movement. There's no reason you can't ride it every day. And you can use a mirror if your arena has a mirror on the short side, or you can have your instructor stand right at the letter on the short side. Or if you don't have help, if your arena is dragged, you can actually see exactly where your horse was going, whether he was straight or not. And also a video is a useful way to see exactly what happened, even though it's kind of delayed. So practice the center lines as they are in the tests that you plan to show with the transition at X. Then what ends up happening is your horse starts to anticipate that you're going to halt at X, for example, and then you want to practice with different transitions at different places, perhaps. No matter what transitions you're doing, it still is helpful because you're really being clear that you're keeping the horse in between the aids, again, about the lateral balance, that he's not falling left and right as you do the transition. And in a way, that's easier to monitor on the center line than it is if you're practicing on the circle or on the long side, where you have the wall kind of to protect you. I like to use it also when I'm riding flying changes. If you can do the changes on the center line and they're really straight, the diagonal is a piece of cake. And like I said, other transitions to keep monitoring that lateral balance as you do things that balance the horse longitudinally. When you're at the show and that you have one judge at C, you actually have the opportunity to get a pretty high mark on the center line if it's straight, because the judge can't really see how your horse moves. Like, is he super lofty or not? Like, it's kind of hard to judge that straight from the front. If you're straight and the transitions are crisp and the salute is clear, it's possible, even if you have a modest moving horse or a less trained horse, to get a really high mark there. So I would practice the center lines to take advantage of that. And another thing you want to remember in the show is that this is your first and your last impression, and you want to make it a good one. So even if you enter and you're a little nervous, try to smile at the judge at X when you salute. It just kind of lets the judge know that everything is going to be okay. And also it helps you relax to smile. And then at the end of the test, even if it wasn't the best test you've ever ridden in the history of the world, you can still pat your horse and be really excited for him that he gave you a good effort. And again, that just gives off an impression of confidence and of appreciation for your ride, even if you have things you want to improve on. So that's what I try to keep in mind when I'm riding the center line at shows. And as I said, practicing it every day, either how it is in the test or with different movements to improve the lateral balance, is what I would recommend.
Now, thanks to Annie Morris, who will be back with more training tips on future episodes. This podcast is available for download on iTunes to your smartphone podcast app. Visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning center and resource for dressage and equine education, at usdf.org. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.